And we thank you, Father, that we have chosen this day to assemble with our brothers and sisters in Messiah Yeshua. For in the book of Hebrews it says, do not forsake the gathering of God's people. And that's where we're strengthened. That's where we're encouraged. Father, when I think that we're going to spend all of eternity with one another and those that are not even here, and those that are even listening on the podcast, you are part of the body of Messiah. You hear these messages that are shared, and this is for your edification and your glorification in Messiah Yeshua and nothing more, so that you can do in your community that God has ordained for you to live, to simply hear the Father's voice, follow Yeshua's example, hear the voice of the Spirit who is called the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and to simply build your Father's kingdom and that alone. And those that are hearing my voice today on the podcast, I speak to you. Arise and read God's word. Every dream or vision that you may ever receive in this lifetime, is that to confirm that God is speaking to your heart? But study the scripture to see whether that dream be of God or that vision be of God. Do not be led astray by any type of dream or vision or teaching or saying that you've ever heard by anyone, but simply read the word of God, because that's the only divine spiritual filter that we have that we can hold in our hands. And I'm not disregarding the Spirit of the living God that is sent to us by Yeshua when he breathed on his Talmudim and said, receive now the Ruach, receive now his Spirit. And I'm not leaving you as orphans, but I'm going to the Father to present myself. But once I do, I will send to you the Comforter, the one that will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will speak of me, Yeshua speaking, not the voice of the man that you hear right now. And that the Spirit of the living God will lead you into all truth. If you inquire of the Lord, he will never deceive you. He will have you do his will and the will of the Father. It is simple as that, my brothers and sisters. So every decision in your life, ask the Spirit of the living God to reveal the truth, whether you're to receive that, walk through that door, accept that promotion, purchase a vehicle, all these things, the Spirit of the living God will lead and guide you in everything, every aspect. As you live your lives wholly before the Lord, he owns your body, for he died upon it, upon the tree, and he ransomed each and every one of us. So everything that we have on this earth one day shall be consumed with fire. And how we use these blessings that God has given to us, we will all one day have to give an account for how we use God's blessings. Did we use them to build God's kingdom or just to be comfortable? And every word that we've spoken has been recorded in the books in heaven. Every action that we've done or not done, every thought that we have allowed to reside in our hearts that is not pleasing in God's sight. That's why God says in his word that we're to take every thought captive. Captive to what? Captive to the word of God, and allow the Spirit of the living God to lead, to reveal to us whether that thought is of God and pleasing in his sight. Think on these things, the scripture says. And so, Father, now as we turn to your word, we just ask, Almighty God, that you would shine your light upon your word that you've ordained for us to focus on today. May the Spirit that leads into all truth be with us, leading and guiding us to fulfill the Father's will. We ask this in Yeshua's name, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn with me now back to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Some of you that are listening on the podcast, there was a vision that was given to a member in this congregation. And it was given not only to him, but also to the members of the congregation, Seed of Abraham, and to others. And I will not go in great detail of that because I don't need to. What we're doing now today is we're going to be going through the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1. And some of the things that the individual shared today, Brother John, we will see where God did speak in visions. And I want the members of this congregation, as you hear God's word read today, I believe the Spirit of living God will speak to your heart pertaining to John's vision. And this is not a judgment on John, because we're instructed in the scripture that when someone gives a vision, someone gives an encouraging word, that we're not judging that individual, but we're taking everything line upon line, precept upon precept, by God's word. I believe the things that Brother John shared are of the Lord, and I have no misgivings on anything that he shared today. But all those who are listening on the podcast today, and those who are part of this congregation that are not here with us today, this is how we interpret scripture upon scripture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us begin in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, while Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was still breathing threats against the Lord's Talmudim, he went to the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest, and he asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, authorizing him to arrest any people he might find, whether men or women, who belonged to the way, and to bring them back to Jerusalem. He was on the road nearing Damascus when suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. Brother John shared about a light in the vision that God gave him. So this is not out of God's realm to share and give men of God, and men of God who are being transformed into his image and likeness. Because Rav Shaul, when he was a man of God, but he was doing things that were not pleasing in the Father's sight. And the Father had to speak to him directly by allowing him to see a light that was far greater than the sun. Let's move forward now in the scripture here. He was on the road near Damascus when suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Shaul, Shaul, why do you keep persecuting me?" "Sir, who are you?" he asked. "I am Yeshua, and you are persecuting me. Get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you have to do." So just as John received a vision last Shabbat, there was light, and there was one speaking to him. And John, in his vision, does not know up to this point who was speaking to him, just as Rav Shaul did not know. That's why Rav Shaul said, "Who are you?" And the person said, "I'm Yeshua." See, otherwise there are times when people speak about visions and dreams of God, but when you do not place them next to Scripture, we can be led astray. So as Brother John was sharing those things with me in the congregation today, these scriptures were playing in my mind. Has there been other lights that have shined? Have other men and women of God received visions? Yes and amen. And when John shared this vision, it wasn't glorifying himself, but it was calling people back. As today's Torah portion was on Noah. And if you read this week's Torah portion, God raised up a man to speak to the world, and they wouldn't listen. He told them to go and build an ark, and his three sons came with him. And for many years, they built that ark. God's judgment is coming upon this earth. He's forewarned that in the scripture. We as believers are not to be afraid. when this happens. The Father never does things without letting His children know. Think about Father Abraham when the angel of Adonai, who we believe was Yeshua, was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Did not God speak to His servant, Abraham? Let's move forward and hear what God is speaking to us in all. As we look at Scripture, line upon line, Acts 9:5, Sir, who are you? Or, Lord, who are you? The Greek word kyrios may mean either. The correct rendering depends on to what degree and what moment. Shaul was aware of who was speaking with him. Obviously, he was not fully aware, or he would not have had to ask and hear the words of the person that speaks. You are persecuting me. This is Yeshua saying to him directly. By persecuting what? Messianic Jews. This demonstrates how closely Messiah Yeshua identifies with his people. Yeshua is the head of the body of Messiah. And when the body is pained, the head says so. So now going now forward onto Acts chapter 9, verse 6. But Yeshua says to him, but get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you have to do. Notice that. What you might have to do. No, what you have to do. Because in Rav Shaul's heart, he believed in the depth of his soul that he was doing the Father's will. But he was not. Have you ever had times in your life where you thought that you were doing everything that was pleasing in the Father's sight, but then He showed you that it was your attitude or your motives that were wrong? Let the Spirit speak and guide you in everything you do. Going forward here in verse 9:7. The men traveling with him stood speechless and hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Notice that they heard that voice, but they didn't see anyone speaking. I'm sure that got their attention. I'm sure that not every day all of a sudden they would be in a place and all of a sudden they're hearing voices and there aren't people in the next room. So going forward in this, the men traveling with him stood speechless and hearing a voice but seeing no one. This now speaks of Daniel. Has this ever happened before? In the Tanakh. See, the Brit Hadashah cannot be divorced or separated from the Tanakh. And so to understand the understanding of what Rav Shaul was dealing with, he had never read Matthew through Revelation. Why? Because it hadn't even been written yet. So what was his frame of reference of God's word that does not change? But Daniel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. And it says this, in the third year of Koresh Cyrus, the king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, also called Belteshazzar. The word was certain, a great war. He understood the word had gained understanding in a vision. And at the time, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 whole weeks. And I hadn't eaten any food that satisfied me. Neither meat nor wine had entered my mouth. And I didn't anoint myself, not even once, until 3 weeks had passed. And on the 24th day of the first month, I was on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, when I looked up, and before me was a man dressed in linen, wearing a belt made with fine uphaz gold. His body was like beryl. His face looked like lightning, and his eyes like fiery torches, and his arms and feet were the color of burnished bronze. Think about those colors that John mentioned today in his vision. He spoke of the sky being a brighter and a different blue of color that he's never seen before. You know what's amazing? I stand before you as a blind man. I'm colorblind. And so when one day when I die and I am resurrected, my eyesight will be changed. I will be able to see colors, glorified colors, that I've never saw on this earth. And I'll see the colors on earth that I've never saw before. Moving forward. And I don't, when he spoke, he sounded like a roar of a crowd. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see the vision. However, a great trembling fell over them so that they rushed to hide themselves. I noticed that when John was giving his vision today, he wasn't boasting of himself, but he did it in a very humble, contrite manner. And he said, if anyone, towards the end of the vision that he shared today with us during the Torah portion, he said, if God has given anyone interpretation, please now speak at this time. I shared a little bit, but I encourage the congregation to search the scriptures. Not a personal judgment against Brother John, but that we would search the scriptures, knowing that all dreams and visions, if God has ordained for one of the members of this congregation to receive a dream or a vision, we should take that seriously. And we should examine that vision according to the Word of God. Does it conform to the Word of God? Does it confirm God's Word? Does it cause you to draw closer to God? Does it cause you to think about how you're living? Is it pleasing in the Father's sight? If you've noticed in Scripture, when men and women of God received dreams and visions, it was always calling them back to God and glorifying God and seeing God's provision. That's what I sense when Brother John gave the vision today of the Lord's soon return. Let's move forward in this. In Yohanan, John 12, 28 through 29, it says this, Father, glorify your name. Who's speaking here but Yeshua? At this bat call, which means a voice from heaven, it came out of heaven. This is the Father speaking to Yeshua because Yeshua was in a very trying time. He's about to lay down his life upon that execution stake. He needed encouragement. Remember the conversation that John, the immerser, had when he was put in prison? After many days, the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, came. And John was discouraged. And what was the word that they were to share with him? The blind are receiving their sight. Those who had leprosy were healed, and the dead were raised. That was his word of encouragement. So going forward now, Yeshua is here, and he's asking the Father, Father, glorify your name. Notice Yeshua is not saying, Father, glorify my name. He says, Father. See, it's all about the Father. Yeshua came to glorify the Father and reveal the Father to us. All right? The Spirit of living God has been sent to us to what? To reveal the Son and the Father to us. Moving forward. The Father said, I have glorified it before and I'll glorify it again. Then the crowd standing there hearing it said that it had thundered. And others said, an angel spoke to him. Yeshua answered, this bat kol, voice from heaven, did not come for my sake but for yours. Is there other confirmation in Scripture? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 9:10, Hananiah Ananias is described at Acts 22:12 as being an observant follower of the Torah, who was highly regarded by the entire Jewish community of Damascus, a Torah zealot just like Shaul. Many people believe that once Rav Shaul received Yeshua as his Messiah, that he stopped living as an Orthodox Jew. That's not true. Proof texts are here. I will not go into great detail. It's Acts chapter 22, 3, Galatians chapter 1, 13 through 14, also Acts 21, 20, and Romans 10, 2. Otherwise, the high priest would have never found anyone else credible as Hananiah, who was an Orthodox practicing Jew who had received Yeshua as his Messiah. Going on, here I am. The Greek ideo, behold I, corresponding to the word, Hebrew word hineni. Hananiah joined a select company when he gave his answer, expressing ready, expectant submission to God. So moving forward, Acts 9:8. They helped Shaul get up off the ground. But when his eyes were opened, he could not see nothing. So, lending him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he remained there unable to see. And he neither ate nor drank, just as Daniel didn't. And when I think about when Rav Shaul wrote in the book of Romans about the veil being before his people, my people's eyes, how about these scales that were before Rav Shaul's eyes? Before seeing Messiah Yeshua as he truly is. Let's now go ahead now. 9:10 in Acts. There was a Talmudim in Damascus, a disciple, Hananiah by name, and in a vision. Wait a second. Another man is having a vision? Absolutely. And in a vision, the Lord Yeshua said to him, Hananiah, he said, here am I. Hineni, Lord. He knew his voice. And he simply turned to his shepherd and said, here I am. Just as our father, Adam, and our mother, Eve, in the cool of the evening, who would come and visit with them every day? But God. And he walked with them. He talked with them. He fellowshiped with them. And this was not an unusual occurrence. How many of you that are here and those who are listening on the podcast have heard Yeshua's voice speaking to you, waking you up at the night, or the Spirit of the living God, and giving you instruction? You are to hear his voice and follow it. He's your good shepherd. I am not. No man or woman on this earth as a spiritual leader, takes the place of Yeshua or the Ruach HaKodesh or Abba, Father God in your lives. If you put a man or woman in that place, you become an idol worshiper. Let's move forward. 9:11, the Lord said to him, get up. And go to Straight Street, just the same words as he said to Rav Shaul, get up and I'll show you what you must do. See, Hananiah knew he had to do this because it was his shepherd telling him what to do. Disobedience is sin when God tells you to do something and we say no or send someone else. Let's move forward. The Lord said to him, get up and go to Straight Street, to Yehuda's house, to Judah's house, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Shaul, for he is what? He's praying. Notice he's not cursing God for bringing these scales upon him and making him literally blind, but he's praying. He has a contrite heart. Moving forward. 9:12, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Hananiah. Wait a second. Yeshua put Hananiah in a vision without asking Hananiah's permission, showing it to Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. Let's go forward in this as we examine what the Scripture says. He has seen a man named Hananiah coming in and placing his hands on him to restore his sight. Rav Shaul had to hear those words. Why? He had to have hope. Because he truly believed, I have been persecuting the Messiah's people. I deserve the wrath of God. There's no hope for me. But Yeshua shows him mercy. Every leader, spiritual leader, who's ever allowed himself to be led astray or led astray God's people has to give an account. God speaks clearly. He warns us. He's given us all the Spirit of the living God to lead us into all truth. And so if there's a spiritual leader that is leading people, himself or others, astray, he has to plug his ears and stop hearing what the Spirit of the living God is saying. The flock does not belong to that spiritual leader. It belongs to God. Those are his lambs, not the spiritual leader's lambs. Let's move forward in all these things. But Hananiah, verse 9:13, answered, Lord, many have told me about this man and how much harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And here he has a warrant from the head Kohanim to arrest everyone who calls on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go. Because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the nations, even to their kings, to the sons of all Israel as well. So think about this. What would it happen if Hananiah would have disobeyed? The Lord would have had to raise up somebody else, and he would have had to deal with Hananiah there in Damascus. Because God's will and kingdom needs to be built. And just think today, the words that Rav Shaul has written in the Brit Hadashah are still this day reaching kings and nations and the sons of Israel, if they'll only listen. And think about how contrite Rav Shaul was when he wrote in the book of Romans. He said, I would desire that God would anathemize me, destroy me, so that my own people would come to know the Messiah. Think about this transformation going on. It takes years. Let's move forward in the Scripture now. But the Lord said to him, Go, because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the nations, even to their kings, to the sons of Israel as well. For I myself will show him how much he will have to suffer on account for my name. So Hananiah left and went into the house, placing his hands upon him and said, Brother Shaul. Think about that. Think about the fear and the dread of facing God's wrath. Once you come to know who Messiah Yeshua is. And Yeshua says, Why are you persecuting me? Why are you touching my lambs? But grace and mercy, holding him accountable for what he was doing. Because really, lambs of God, messianic people, men and women were being put to death. It's amazing when you think of God's justice and mercy and grace all being meted out simultaneously. It literally blows my mind. Because God can see the beginning and the end. And this is one of his chosen servants. One that appeared to be an enemy to him and all God's lambs. So is there hope for people in this earth who do not know God? Is there hope for transformation? There's hope. If there's repentance and yielding to the Spirit of the living God. Let's move forward here. So Hananiah left the house and, placing his hands upon him, said, "Brother Shaul, the Lord Yeshua, the one who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so, that you may see again and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh." Think about the humbling. Putting your life on the line, doing the will of Yeshua, your eternal shepherd, putting your place in a place of sacrifice. Because these guards were around Rav Shaul and they could have arrested him, Hananiah, at any second and drug him off in chains. And not only Hananiah, but his whole household. But he was willing to do the will of the shepherd. And notice this, that Hananiah is revealed to him by Yeshua exactly what was said and done in Rav Shaul's vision prior to this. Verse 9:18, "And in that moment, something like scales fell from Shaul's eyes. He could see again, and he got up and he was immersed. Then he ate some food and he regained his strength. And Shaul spent some days with the Talmudim in Damascus, the disciples, learning." Because he had to be re-educated. Because he believed with his whole heart and mind that for the rest of his life, with these letters from the high priest, he would be simply going from country to country throughout all the diaspora, arresting those who are the followers of the way, Messianic believers, Jewish believers in Messiah, and bringing them back to Jerusalem. But Abba, Father God, had a total different plan. Verse 9:20, "And immediately he began proclaiming in the synagogues that Yeshua is the Son of God." Talk about transformation. Saying that someone that is seen as a traitor to Judaism and the Jewish people as a promised Messiah. And my Jewish people won't one day, when they cry out, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they will see Messiah Yeshua descending from the clouds into Jerusalem when all the nations of the earth come against them, and the veil shall finally be removed from their eyes, and they will behold him whom they pierced. And what will bring about? Judgment and condemnation? Eternal separation? No, but salvation. Yeshua is going to bring salvation to the Jewish people as a whole and complete nation. That's all ordained by the Father. That's his will. But there's a holy remnant of Jewish people who have become part of the Messianic community through the centuries up to this day. So what is God's will for this congregation? To reach out to the nations, but not to forsake the holy remnant of Israel that come to know, to the full knowledge of him as Messiah. Now I'll wrap this up very, very quickly. Verse 9:21, "And all who heard him were amazed. They said, 'Isn't he the man who in Jerusalem was trying to destroy the people who call upon this name? In fact, isn't that why he came here, to arrest them and to bring them back to the head Kohanim?' But Shaul was being filled more and more with power." If you notice in the verses just prior to this, the will of the Father was what? For him to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of living God. Because you and I can only do the will of the Father and build his kingdom only when we're filled, continually filled, with the Spirit of the living God, who is renewing us, changing us, transforming us in the image and likeness and character of Messiah. But Shaul was being filled more and more with the power, was creating uproar around the Jews that were living in Damascus with his proofs that Yeshua is the Messiah. Quite some time later, non-believing Jews gathered together and made plans to kill him. It's amazing. It doesn't tell us if it was months or years. That doesn't matter. But their plot came to be known to Shaul, the Apostle Paul, and they were watching the gates day and night in order to do away with him. What does that mean? Silence him? Bribe him? No, to put him to death, to silence his voice. But under the cover of night, his Talmudim took him and let him down over the city wall, lowering him in a large basket. On reaching Jerusalem, he tried to join the Talmudim, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a Talmid, a disciple. However, Barnabas, got hold of him and took him to the emissaries. He told them how Shaul had seen the Lord while traveling, and the Lord had spoke to him, and how in Damascus Shaul had spoken out boldly in the name of Yeshua. So he reminded them and went over all Jerusalem, continuing to speak out boldly in the name of the Lord Yeshua. He talked and debated with the Greek-speaking Jews, but they began making attempts to kill him. And when the brothers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea to set him away to Tarsus. The Messianic community throughout Yehuda and Galil, Judah and Galilee and Sharon, enjoyed peace and was built up. They lived in fear of the Lord and with the counsel of the Ruach HaKodesh, and their numbers kept multiplying. Notice that the Spirit of the living God was there, doing all that he needs to do. So how is the seed of Abraham or any messianic group that are meeting today to grow and develop? Is by allowing the Spirit of living God to be set free in their midst and for us to hear his voice both individually and corporately and hear the voice of Yeshua, our eternal shepherd, so that we may what? Fulfill the will of God the Father. And what is that? To proclaim the good news to the nations, including the house of Israel, to all Jews. We're almost done with chapter 9, but this first portion is complete. So, Father, we humbly come before you, and we ask, Almighty God, that we will be filled yet afresh with the Spirit of the living God, that he will lead us in all truth, that we will do nothing but what is pleasing in the Father's sight. In Yeshua's name, amen.